I'm going to be speaking this morning on a subject from the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 4, reading the first 7 verses. Then I want to talk about, I'm going to discuss the story itself briefly and identify a half a dozen points there that I think are important for us to note. And then from that, I want to show you something that the Lord has been showing me within the past several weeks. It was 2 or 3 weeks ago, I'm not sure, that I was reading through this portion of God's Word. And as I came to that passage and as I read through it, I saw something in this story that I had never seen before. I've been thinking about it over the last couple of weeks, and you will see in just a few moments why it became particularly alive to me now and why I desire so much for it to be alive for you. For I believe God wants to speak to the church today. I believe He wants to speak to individual believers as well, but primarily the message is to the church. The story that's recorded here is from the life of the prophet Elisha. And it's the story concerning the widow woman who had been left with her husband's debts upon his death. She and her sons were unable to pay the creditors, and so the creditors were going to sell her sons as slaves in order to raise the money to pay off her dead husband's debts. She was in a deeply distressful situation, and she needed help. She needed it badly. Let's see how the Lord met that need. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditors come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondsmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. In other words, bring lots. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all these vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. And so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And then the oil stayed. And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Now here is the Lord in a miraculous way meeting the needs of a poor widow. The first thing I want you to note is that there was in this widow's life a deep and serious need. She was about to lose her sons to the creditors. They were going to sell them as slaves. In the first verse, she came to the prophet saying, My husband was a servant of God. He loved God. He feared God. But yet here his posterity is about to be sold. Something must be done. Did you notice how the prophet answered in the second verse? He said, What's in your house? What do you have? He didn't ask her, What do you not have? He said, What do you have? What do you have available to you? And then in the fourth verse, he instructed her, in the third verse rather, in the fourth, he instructed her to go get some empty vessels and take what she had and pour it into what is empty. Take what you have, even though you think it is insignificant, and empty it out, pour it out into empty vessels, empty pots. When she did so, in obedience to the word of the man of God, when she accomplished that and began to pour her meager bit of oil into empty vessels, God did a miracle for her in the 6th verse. We see that the supply of the oil that she had was sufficient to fill every single empty vessel that she had. There was not one empty pot that remained empty. God took the little bit of oil that she had, multiplied it sufficiently so that it would satisfy the emptiness that was in every one of the pots that she had available. And then lastly, I want you to notice that when all the vessels were full, the oil stopped flowing. After the need was met, there was no more oil. There was no more flow. Now, that's about all I had ever seen in the story until these past couple of weeks. And the Lord began to speak to me about our church. He began to speak to me about this ministry. And He began to speak about Him, Himself, and His work among us. Now, this won't make any sense to you. This passage of Scripture will have no practical application to you as far as the ministry of the church is concerned, unless you understand that oil in the Bible is a type of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Covenant, they took oil and they anointed the priests as a means of signifying the flow of the Spirit of God upon and over the priest so that he was then qualified, anointed by God to serve in the priest's office. They took oil and anointed the implements and the instruments of worship in the tabernacle of God. And by so doing, they were consecrating them to a special sanctified service, if you will. In the New Testament, we see oil used in the same way. Jesus sent His disciples out. The Gospel of Mark records that they anointed the sick with oil, and the sick were healed. We read in the epistle of James in the 5th chapter and the 14th verses and following where it says, "Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and they will anoint him with oil and pray the prayer of faith over him, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick." There's no medicinal value, we understand, in the oil. When I first had occasion to do this, we were in another church at the time, and I was a layman in a traditional denominational church, and I was teaching a Bible study for Sunday school, and we were reading through the Gospel of Matthew, and I don't even remember why, but on one particular Sunday morning, we referenced this passage in James. It wasn't even part of the lesson, but we went over and kind of read through that. It had something to do with the passage we were sharing in Matthew, and there was a little Baptist girl sitting in that class that day, whom I hardly knew. And she saw that passage of Scripture about anointing with oil and God would heal the sick. And the following Thursday, my wife got a telephone call and she said, it was this little Baptist girl, and she said, "Is this the Rock Hill that teaches Sunday school at the Presbyterian Church?" And my wife said, "Yeah, that's him." And she wanted to know, would he come and anoint my children with oil? Well, my wife didn't really know because I'd never done that before. But she said, I think he probably would. So she called me at my office and gave me this, and I thought, what am I going to do now, Lord? Okay, and I've shared the word, but now what am I going to do now? Here's a call for it. You know what my biggest problem was? What kind of oil do you use? That I didn't know. What kind of oil do you use? Baby oil? Do you use motor oil? Do you use chainsaw oil? Do you use transmission oil? Do you use used motor oil? Could you use castor oil? And I struck on probably the closest I could get was olive oil. I did think about those guys that offer holy, blessed, anointed oil over the radio for a couple of dollar offering. But I didn't have any of that. So I went by the grocery store and I bought me a bottle of olive oil because I know olives grow in that part of the world, and I thought that would, and I needed that for that particular moment. I don't know if we'd have had our faith flowing if I would have used baby oil or motor oil on that lady's children. But we got olive oil. The reason I relate the story is the type of oil you use doesn't really make any difference. We took the oil home. It came out of a Pompeian olive oil bottle, and it went into the tiny little bottle that looks more religious, you know. You put it in a little... You could put your, nobody's going to get much from a bottle of Pompeii olive oil. But when you get a nice little bottle like this, you see, somebody can get something from it. See, this is, see, this kind of oil here is what really has it. Or better yet, this little vial. That'll really get it for you. You understand what I mean, don't you? What I'm trying to say is the oil, you see, has no efficacy in it in and of itself. There's no magical power. There's no medicinal value in the oil. The oil is simply emblematic of the Holy Spirit. And so I needed some strength that night, and so I called a good brother in the Lord, and we went over there together. I think maybe three of us. James, did you go with us that night over there? And Jerry Earnhardt went with us, and the three of us went over. And this lady had three, down here on King's Highway, and this lady had three little children, and all, well, two of them had tubes in their ears because of infections and so on. And the husband had had to get another job in order to pay the doctor bills, and they'd spent something like $6,000 or $7,000 the previous year just on bills for these kids, the children's ears. And the third child was now beginning to develop the same kinds of problems, and the husband, who was not saved, didn't know what he was going to do, and he was putting tremendous pressure upon his wife. When we arrived, the husband had found it convenient he needed to go to the store to get a loaf of bread or something, and he wasn't there. But we did minister to the lady and to her three children, and wonder of all wonders, God delivered those three children, and all three of them got marvelously and beautifully healed. And she came subsequently to share her testimony. Now, the point is that oil throughout the Scripture is used to describe the work of the Holy Spirit. It was not the oil, you see, that ministered healing to those three children. What provided the healing was the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit was released there by the faith of this mother and these three men that went down there and in obedience to the Scripture took some rather ordinary material, some olive oil, and poured it on those children's heads and prayed for them in the name of Jesus. And God, by His marvelous Holy Spirit, set those children free. We've seen that happen time after time after time after time. The point of that is simply to get across this one central point, and that is that the Holy Spirit is oft times represented in the Scripture by oil, anointing oil. Knowing that, when you read through this passage of Scripture, there's some additional insight, isn't there? And for us as a church, this is what this passage of Scripture is saying to me in these past couple of weeks. There's a deep and serious need in our community. The need is for salvation by the power of God's Word. And we must reach those that have this need. We must get the message of the gospel to those who have not heard it, and those that have heard it, we must get that message to them repetitively until it breaks through the blindness that the principalities and the powers of darkness have brought to bear against people's lives. As a church, we have seen that need for some time, and we have not been completely satisfied to simply preach the word here in the house of God. Obviously, we do that and do it regularly and delight in it, but it is not enough. If someone's not here this morning, they're not really receiving what we're doing today, are they? And so we have spent rather substantial sums of money. We spent a large sum of money for this sign out front, not so everybody would know where Water of Life Christian Center was, because you could buy a sign for a few a few hundred dollars that would do that. But this sign cost about $5,000, and we thought that it was proper to buy that and to put that much money into it because it preaches the gospel. And it preaches the word of God to everybody who's going up and down the street. In addition, just this week, we have, many of you received this for the first time in your homes, The Messenger, a free family newspaper for you from Water of Life Christian Center. How many, so that I will know, how many of you are getting this in your homes? Over 11,000 of these were sent out this week to the Douglasville rural, or the Douglasville postal routes, and the Winston postal routes. If you live in Lithia Springs and east, you did not get one of these, and that's why. There are several routes that we were not able to reach, and we're still working on those, trying to be able to reach those routes. But last week, 11,000 of these went out. This is going to go out every 6 weeks. It's going to cost us about $1,200 an issue to put this into people's homes. But we believe, how many of you read it? Do you find it profitable? There's good material in here. It's not real heavy and it's not real deep, but it's designed to minister to those who are either lost or those that have a superficial profession of faith and commitment to Christ, or those who have been committed to the Lord but have never really been challenged with what it means to be committed to Jesus Christ. As I was reading through this passage, I began to think about the ministry of the messenger, this tabloid, and the ministry of this local body. And the Lord began to show me, he asked me the question, what's in the house? Now we may look around ourselves here and see, well, we're not really very large. We're a congregation of 280 to 300 people on a Sunday morning. And what can we really do? And what do we have available? And the answer was not long in coming. I'm going to tell you what I have available. I have the Spirit of Jesus available. And so do you. And that's what we have as a church. It's not our great preaching, and it's not our great building, and it's not our wonderful music, and it's not any of those things. It's the Spirit of Jesus Christ that's available here. That's what we're hearing today. I hear this brother say that he's aware of the presence of God. You don't know how that blesses me, to know that someone would come into this service and that would be the one thing that would strike him. To know that the Spirit of God filled this brother and this sister this morning during the service. And to know that the Spirit of God was working over here in the choir loft with my wife and ministered healing to her eyes and set her free from a, if you have trouble with your eyes, you know how oppressive and that kind of thing can be. We do have that, and I believe that God is saying to us today, what's in your house? Like this widow said, the only thing I've got is a little pot and a little bit of oil in it. Let us say also, well, we may have just a little pot and just a little bit of oil in it, but let's recognize what that little bit of oil is. Let's recognize that that is the Spirit of an almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing God. And then he had me notice what this woman did with what she had. She went out and got as many empty vessels as she could. You got that? Now she's only got this much oil. But she went out and brought in a church full of empties. As many as she could. What did he say to her? Borrow not a few. Not a few. Pack them in. Put them on every shelf. Hang them up on the wall. Sit them in the aisles. Bring every empty vessel you can find. Those are the ones God wants to minister to. Not the ones that are already full, but the empty ones. Borrow not just a few and bring them in. And then what did he say to them, to this woman? Take what you've got and pour it into the empties. Does that speak to you? Take the Spirit of God that is in you and pour it into someone who is empty. And as long as you pour, the oil will be there, won't it? You notice this woman was able to fill every empty vessel with that little bit of oil. Do you know what God's saying to me? There's enough Spirit in this place to fill every empty life in our county. There are not enough empty vessels around us to exhaust the supply, if I can use this terminology or this imagery, to exhaust the supply of the Spirit of God that is presently available in your lives and in our life together as a church. There's an ample supply, enough to fill every vessel. But now I'm going to knock you between the eyes. Are you ready for this? When there were no more empty vessels, the oil stopped flowing. I'm going to say that again. When there were no more empty vessels, the oil stopped flowing. Now I'm going to tell you something about yourself, and I'm going to tell you something about this church and any other church. The minute it stops or you stop filling empty vessels with your oil, you're not going to have any flow in your life. If you want to see the Spirit of God flowing in this church, you bring some empty vessels in here. You understand that? If you want to see the Spirit of God flowing in your personal life, you're going to have to get around some empty vessels. You're going to have to go where there are some empty vessels and draw them to you. One of the things that has never ceased to amaze me is how different our services are when we have empty people in them. Have you noticed that? I noticed it at first when I began to teach the Word, and we would have, say, in a Sunday school class or in a Wednesday night Bible study or one of those teaching times, and one of you would bring somebody with you who was lost. And all of a sudden, the Spirit would just start to flow in the teaching. You could just feel it flowing. Everybody sitting there could feel that flowing just for that one empty vessel. Here's oil being poured out on that person. You cannot take the Spirit of God, beloved, and dam it up. You cannot take the Spirit of God and box it in. You cannot take the Spirit of God and put it in a bottle and put a stopper on it. God's Spirit must be flowing, for God is a living God. He's not a God that dwells in a pot. He's not a God that dwells in a barrel. He's not a God that dwells in a box. He's a God that dwells in people's lives, and He flows through those people into others. Always from the full into the empty. From the full into the empty. From the full into the empty. But God, I've only got so much. Well, that's all right. Get out of yourself and start tapping into what I got. Because I hadn't got only so much. I got all of it. See, I've got all that's needed. Quit trying to give yourself. Give me. Let me flow through you. Some of you are wondering about your own personal Christian experience, and things have begun to get dry for you, and I'm going to tell you why. The reason is you're not around any empty vessels. If you want to get the Spirit of God flowing in your life, then you get around some empty pots. And you're going to find God's Spirit just starting to flow through you. You look around and you say, I don't know why He's got so much joy. He just seems to be so happy all the time. You know why? He's got a raging flow of the Spirit of God flowing through Him. You know, and He intimidates you a little bit, you see. You say, how could He be like that all the time? This is why. This is why. He's putting Himself in a place where healing virtue can flow to the sick, where the good news can flow to the lost, where encouragement can flow to the downtrodden and the depressed and the distressed.